Luke chapter number 19. If everybody's obeyed the Spirit of the Lord tonight. Yeah, amen, Cindy. Amen. Yeah, amen, Brady. Amen. I know sometimes I hope I'm not insensitive to the Wednesday night crowd. I know you've worked all day and you're tired, but my come in, it just feels so good to be here. I'm not in a hurry to get through, and I know maybe that's unfair sometimes to you, but it's just good. It's just good to gather in the name of the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about a very familiar text. Every young person in here could probably tell me what this story's about. But I want to just share a few little truths with you from it. Maybe it'd be a blessing to help to you. And hopefully I won't be too long tonight. The Bible says, we're going to talk about Zacchaeus. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 19 in the book of St. Luke, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Now I want you to listen at the concluding verse. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to help us for a little while. Help me and help your people. And Lord, use me to be a blessing. Please, just speak through me to hearts tonight. Just let something be said to help your people. And Lord, we sure will thank you. And I ask you if there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, any disturbances or movements or noises or anything that might hinder the Holy Spirit tonight, Lord, would you just refrain it for a few minutes and do in our midst. Father, thank you for your presence that I failed in the saying. And I ask you now, please honor the preaching for your glory. And if there's any unconfessed sin in my life, Father, please forgive me and make me that vessel of honor that you can use. Have your blessed way now, Father, and we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, this is a very familiar text, but I want to kindly look at it. I don't know if it's different, but it's got a different title that I'm going to put on it anyway, and maybe I think that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about obstacles, opportunities, omniscience, and an overcomer in the work of the Lord. Obstacles, opportunity, omniscience, and an overcomer in the work of the Lord. We'll see all that in this text. And as we start, we see that Jesus is entering and passed through Jericho, which was a city of course, all of you know this, that had a curse on it. But we're going to be dealing primarily with this fellow named Zacchaeus. And the Bible says this, and behold. In other words, we see that word behold. You know this. I've said it 100 times behind this pulpit. When we see the word behold, that means stop and look. Stop and pay close attention. There's something there for us. And so the Holy Spirit, which preserved this word for us, said, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So we've got a man here that the Bible is going to begin to describe and begin to give us some truths about his life. And we see this, that he was... first of all, that he was a chief among the publicans. A publican was a tax collector, was a Jewish tax collector who worked for the Roman government. And the publicans were hated by the other Jews because they many times would not only extort the tax or get the tax, but extort them for other monies. And there was a lot of corruption amongst them. And they really were thought of as traitors to their nation. And so when we look at Zacchaeus, the first thing we learn about him is that he was a publican and a hated man by his own people. He was disliked. The Jews had no... they had nothing good to say about Zacchaeus. But the Bible says more than that. It says that he was chief among the publicans. He was successful. He was good at what he did. He had excelled in his craft and moved up the line. And not only was he a publican, but he was a chief publican. We might say this, he had been promoted to the next level, or he's climbing the ladder, however you want to talk about it. But we would just say in our language today, we'd say this, he was successful. Successful man. Let's read on and see what else it says. Chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now let's get the picture. Here's a fella had pretty much what life had to offer. He had a good job. He had been successful at that job. He had been promoted. He was rich. He had money. Money wasn't an issue. Maybe he worked because he enjoyed his work. Maybe he's like a lot of rich men. He couldn't get enough. He wanted what was his and what adjoined him. I don't know what it was, but I know he had a lot going for him. And a lot of folks would have been satisfied with that. But when we come to verse number 3, we see something else about this fella Zacchaeus. It says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. That strikes me odd. In one sense of the word, maybe I could generate some reasons why he wanted to see Jesus. Maybe he thought he could make some money off of him. Maybe he thought Jesus' ministry was profit-based and he could learn a little. I don't know that. I don't think that. I think Zacchaeus had everything life had to offer materialistically, financially, however you want to look at it, but there was something missing down on the inside. That's what I believe. I believe he was seeking something. I believe he had it all and there was no reason he shouldn't be satisfied. Who cares what people think? I mean, he has the money, he has the position, he has the power. Who cares what they think? But deep in the heart of Zacchaeus, there's something that was missing. Something that was missing. He was hunting something. He just didn't know what it was. That's kind of the picture I see about this fellow. When I look at the the little biography that the Bible gives us here, that's what I see. And so he's seeking. And in my mind, if I was trying to paint you a picture, he's heard some folks talking. And maybe he's heard what Jesus has done. And maybe he's seen some changed lives. I don't know. I don't know what the draw, what the pull was. But I'm comfortable something was missing in his life. And some way or another, he thought maybe he might find what he's looking for if he could just get to Jesus. I think that's kind of where he was at. And he sought, verse 3 says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little a stature. Now, we see, as we come to this, we see a desire in his heart to know more about Jesus, to get closer to Jesus. And surely, we surely understand this is a type of a picture that types out salvation. We surely know that and see that from the text. But here's a man that has a spiritual desire, a desire about the right person, about Jesus. And he wants to know him better. He wants to get closer to him. But he can't. There's some obstacles in his way. I started thinking about that. Within himself, he could not accomplish what he wanted to accomplish spiritually. And doesn't that speak of all of us to some degree? I mean, aren't we all? I know we're talking about salvation in the passage, and I'm not trying to take it out of context, but I'm just saying, do we not all find ourselves wanting to achieve or have some goals or get closer to the Lord or know Him better, but it just seems like we can't? It just seems like it don't happen. And next year, we make all these plans. Here's what we want to do. And we ought to have some goals. It's right. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time, as Brother Blue says. You ought to have some spiritual goals for your life, and you ought to shoot for those goals, try to make them. But really, couldn't we say the Christian life is much like this? We want to, but we just can't get there. We've been there, haven't we? That's where Zacchaeus is. He's a sinner, but he's experiencing some of those same things. I seem like that portrays my whole life. And so I think maybe we could relate a little bit with Zacchaeus. But the good thing that I like about Zacchaeus, there's something going on in his heart. There's a heart work. There's a desire. There's a want to. There's something in there that's pushing him or nudging him towards Jesus. And can I tell you, that's essential if you're going to get anything from the Lord. There has to be a heart work before we get anywhere. If you're going anywhere with God, there has to be a desire. There has to be a want to. There has to be a longing. And that can only come from the Lord. If our loved ones are ever saved, there's going to have to be a want to and a longing and a desire down on the inside of their heart. I could go over to John, maybe I ought to, and read this to you. A lot of good people pass this scripture by, but you better not. It says this: no man can come to me. This is Jesus talking. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me. You know the next two words? Draw me. Brother Miller, there has to be a drawing by the Father. And here's what we do. We bypass that many times. We try to shortcut that. I'm not talking about around here. I wonder sometimes if we don't go too far the other way. But we try to get away from the drawing of the Lord. And without that, there'll not be anything done. The sinner can't get to Jesus unless the Father draws him and does a work in his heart. Can't happen. But aren't you glad that the Lord does deal with sinners? And here's Zacchaeus, and he's got a want to in his heart. There's a desire in his heart. My, that's such a prerequisite to receive from the Lord. But let's just go just a little bit farther and see what it says. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he ran into some obstacles. And I want you to understand this, in any spiritual undertaking of any value, there's going to be obstacles. It's just how it is. It's not always, in fact, it's not going to be easy. The devil, if you're doing a true work for God, the devil's going to throw up some obstacles in the way. The four that carried the man to Jesus on the cot, the only way they could get that man to Jesus was get up on the roof and tear the roof back and lower him down. They had to get past the obstacles. And here's what I'm thinking in my life and in your life. Many times when the obstacles come, we just dismiss it as perhaps, well, it wasn't the Lord's will. Or we just dismiss it as, well, maybe my timing is off. Maybe God wants me to do that, but not now. I'm not, and perhaps that's so at times. I know we can get ahead of God. But sometimes it's the devil trying to hinder you from getting what you need from the Lord. There's obstacles that come along in our life. Within himself, he could not accomplish what he desired. And we see two obstacles there. Number one was his own shortcomings, his own insufficiency, his own inability. He was unable within himself. He did not have what he needed to get to Jesus under the situation. And my, can I tell you one of the obstacles that's going to hinder you in your endeavor to achieve your spiritual goals? You want me to tell you who one of your biggest obstacles, one of the biggest obstacles you're going to have to overcome? You know where I'm headed. Yourself. Really, we can't, well, John's gospel says that we can't do anything without him. We're not able to do a spiritual work. Sometimes I sit down in my office and I just think I'm really not able to pastor this church. Sometimes about Thursday, if I don't have the message, Brother Miller, I start thinking, I don't know what we need. Brother Allen, I don't know if you ever do that. If you ever, it comes time to do the singing and you just say, Lord, I don't know what songs we need to sing. I don't know what message we need to preach. I don't know what the children in a Sunday school class needs. You see, we're unable within ourselves to do anything of spiritual value. And Zacchaeus learned that. He comes up and he's short of stature. It's nobody's fault. He just doesn't have the requirements needed to accomplish the goals that's in his heart. And that's to see and get near Jesus. He doesn't have that. But then we see another obstacle there, and that's the people that's around him. The press. We might say this, Brother Allen, that's a religious crowd. They were after Jesus. I don't know if it's a spiritual crowd. I don't know if it's a godly crowd. They may have been there for personal gain. A lot of them were. But here's a crowd that's around Jesus. You can't fault them for being near Jesus. But they're keeping him out. That crowd that's around Jesus is keeping him from doing and achieving and accomplishing the goals that he has in his heart, that God's put in his heart. And that's to see, to know the Lord more and be closer to him. Not only is he too short within himself, and that's a hindrance, but can I tell you, they were folks that were keeping him from getting to Jesus and from doing what he desired. And can I just say to you, here's another obstacle in accomplishing your spiritual goals, and that's other people. There's people, I suspect in this room right now, there's people would be a lot closer and know the Lord in a lot more intimate way were it not for other people in their life. I know that seems kind of odd. Fact of the matter is, you could almost say this was a religious crowd. But the fact of the matter was, they were keeping Zacchaeus, the sinner, from getting to Jesus. That sobers me in a sense. I wonder if we are keeping anybody from getting to Jesus. I wonder, there's nothing wrong with getting near the Lord like that press did, but the fact of the matter is, I wonder if we're hindering sometimes. I wonder if I am. Let me just say it that way. I do wonder that about myself. And so here's Zacchaeus. He desperately needs the Lord. He desires the Lord. But there's some hindrances that come up in his life. And any time, just lock this in, just write it down. Anytime you attempt to draw closer and know the Lord more intimately, there's going to be obstacles. It will not happen without a fight, without a battle, without conquering some obstacles in your life. You're no different than Zacchaeus. He was a sinner needing salvation, and you may be a saint needing consecration or whatever else in your life, but there's going to be some obstacles. Get ready for it. It's natural, it's normal, it's going to happen, and you can let those obstacles keep you from achieving your goal, or you can do like Zacchaeus did and evaluate the situation and see what you need to do. Now, what's your obstacle? What's keeping you from serving the Lord like you ought to? That's what I ask myself sometimes. Is it carnality? Is it busyness? Is it cares? Anxiety? Worry? We could just go through the list. What's really keeping you from achieving the spiritual ambition of your heart? Is it yourself? Are you trying to do it within yourself without seeking God? Are you letting other people slow you up, keep you from being what you ought to be? That's where Zacchaeus was. He was facing that. There was some obstacles. But I want you to notice verse number 4. He didn't let that stop him. Here's what I see. Let me read verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, how did he know he's going to pass that way? I mean, he hadn't gotten there yet. But I think, here's what I see in my mind. Zacchaeus is looking, and he's seeing the path he's following. And if the Lord continues as he is, he knows he's going to come this direction. That's not to say the Lord couldn't have turned off the path, went somewhere else. But the point I'm trying to make is Zacchaeus evaluated the situation to see what he could do to overcome the obstacle in his life. What do you need to do to overcome the obstacles in your life? I think we ought to stop and ask ourselves that question. What do you need to do to overcome the spiritual obstacles that's keeping you from achieving that closeness and that intimacy that you'd like to have with the Lord? Zacchaeus asked himself that question. He evaluated. Here's what he said. I'm never going to see the Lord like this. I'm too short. There ain't anything I can do about being short. And I'm not going to get past these people. You think they're going to say, hey, here's good old boy Zacchaeus, open up and let him get to Jesus? They hated him. Well, Alan, they're not even going to give him the time of day. They're not going to step back. He knows if he's going to get what he wants and if he's going to see his heart's desire, He's got to do something other than what he's doing. Why do we keep doing the same things when it doesn't work spiritually? Are we going to do the same? And you know, it's the year end. I always get like this at the end of the year, and I get real reflective. I get reflective and start thinking about what we've done this year. We're going to do the same way next year we did this year. Did you accomplish your spiritual goals this year? Are you closer to the Lord this year than you was last year? Are you in a more intimate, do you know Him better this year than you did last year? If you don't, what are you going to do different? I think that's a fair question we ought to ask ourselves. I really think, and I think that's what Zacchaeus did. And I think he said this, the way I figure it, the Lord is going to pass by here. And here's what he said, one thing I've got to do is distance myself from the multitude. I got to put some distance between me and the mass of people. And I think that's really, can I tell you, if you're going to go with the crowd today, you're not going to get close to the Lord. It ain't going to happen. You're going to have to, as Brother Larry Wells preached here once, you're going to have to get outside the camp if you're going to worship the Lord. And you're going to have that intimacy with you. You can't do like everybody else does. We can't do like religion does. We can't do like the lukewarm Laodiceans do. We must get away from the crowd, get ahead and anticipate the Lord and get ahead and position ourselves to achieve what we want to achieve. That's what he did. That's what he did. Let's see what he said, what it says in verse 4. Again, and he ran before, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see, for he was to pass that way. Now, I don't know. I don't know if this is true or not, but they say the dignitaries back in that day didn't run. It was almost an embarrassment if they ran. They were, that was for children. And one of the writers even said this, here's this dignified businessman acting like a schoolboy, running, climbing a tree. And if that's so, and I have no reason not to believe it to be so, we might say this, that Zacchaeus was a spectacle. They probably looked at him and said, look at that silly thing there running down through there like a little kid. Look at him going. He's nothing more than a kid. Look how silly him climbing a tree. My goodness, he must be in the first grade. He's got a kid mentality. But you know what I think about Zacchaeus? I think he had this attitude, Brother Al. I don't care. Say what you want to say. Say whatever you want to say. I want to see Jesus. If this is what I have to do to get close to Jesus, I'm going to do it. Go ahead and laugh. I don't care. Let me ask you, what do you have to do? Just kind of mull that over. Here he is, and he did something that really appeared silly to those looking on. If what the commentator says right, I don't know, but it makes good preaching. So I'm going to throw it out there to you. He's running like a little kid, climbing trees. Can I tell you this? He didn't let the circumstances cause him to quit. He didn't stop. He refused to give up. He determined what he had to do in order to overcome these obstacles and accomplish his goal. And he didn't care what people thought, he was going to do it. Can I say he was determined to get closer to the Lord and know more about Him? He was determined. I think we all want to know the Lord closer, and we want to know more about Him. But I don't think we're as determined sometimes as we ought to be. We ought to refuse to stay the same. We ought to refuse to back up. We ought to purpose in our heart, whatever it takes, we're going on with God. We're going to get closer. We're going to become more intimate, know Him better. We're going to do whatever it takes to get there. That's where Zacchaeus was. I mean, we see some obstacles in his way. Let me read on just a little bit. Verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, He looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Now here's what Zacchaeus has done. He has considered the situation, considered the problem, decided what he needs to do, and he's positioned himself in the right place that he can see the Lord. Now the Lord may go off another way, but Zacchaeus has done everything he can do at this point. He's made the best decision he could make. He's done what he thought he ought to do. And although things may not work out, he's in a position to be blessed from the Lord. And that's about what your part is. That's about, we can't make the Lord bless us, but we can position ourselves where if He chooses to bless us, He can bless us. Brother Steve, you can do that. Brother Allen, you can do that. Brother Wolf, you can do that. Brother Miller, we can position ourselves, and whether God blesses us or not, that's up to Him. But we can get ourselves in a place where if He chooses to, we're in a place that He can bless us. That's where he was. And so the Lord comes by, and you know, I could paint you a picture of the leaves, and I'm not going to do all that. He may have been in plain view, far as I know. He may have been hid, far as I know. The Lord might could have not just saw a little bit of him through the foliage. I don't know. I don't know what the situation was. But I do know this, the Lord knew where he was at. The Lord knew his name, Brother Allen. And can I take it a step farther? The Lord knew his heart. Man, he knew his heart. Did you know the Lord invited himself to Zacchaeus' house? Zacchaeus didn't say, "Lord, would you come to my house?" But the Lord knew his heart. The Lord knew that Zacchaeus wanted communion with him. And he said, "Hey, come on down, buddy. I'm going home with you today." Man, I like that. I'm glad he knows our heart. He knows your heart. Really, if your heart ain't in the church, he knows that. He knows where you're at. If you're just half-hearted, half in, half out, whipped, like I am a lot of times, the Lord knows your heart. He knows you're sitting back there wishing I'd just sit down and quit so you could go home. He knows your heart. And here's old Zacchaeus with his whole heart. He wants to know the Lord and get close to Him and know more about Him. And the Lord came by and he knew right where he was at. He knew his name. And let's see what he says. Let me read it to you again. When Jesus, verse 5, came to the place. I like that little phrase, the place. When he came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and he said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Well, it looks like he lived in that Jericho area because he's going to abide at his house. And so he told Zacchaeus to come down. And symbolically, what we can draw from that, he's saying, if you want me to dwell with you, you're going to have to humble yourself. We're too proud. Can I just tell you this? The average believer is sickening, is sickened with pride. Let me just say that. We're too proud of a people. We need to humble our hearts and just admit what we really are. And admit what we need. And he says, Zacchaeus, hurry up. Get down out of that tree. And what he's saying, hurry up and humble yourself. That's the spiritual lesson we can draw from that. And then notice the opportunity today. Let me read that to you. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And here's what we do. Here's what we do so much. Well, way back yonder, we just shouted out, "Oh my!" The good old days. I'm getting at the age that I can remember days, and I remember them with fondness. Brother Miller, I don't know if you're there yet. It wasn't all that good, but now I forgot the bad, and I just remember the good things about it. And it does seem like good old days to me. But really, it wasn't no. We lived rougher back then than I'm living now. Really, these are the good old days, but when I think back, I like them days. And if I'm not careful, I'll be living in the past. And how many times have you seen Christians that live in the past? Man, we used to shout it out. Why can't you shout it out today? And then I've seen those that say this, well, when I get married and I get settled down, then I'm going to serve the Lord. It's all future then. And we have a tendency either to live in the past or live in the future. But can I tell you where opportunities at, spiritual opportunities at? Today. This is all you've got to work with is today. And here's the situation. The Lord is passing by and you'll never... You might know it, but I can't find it where he ever passed through Jericho again. This was his last time, if I've not missed it. This was his last time going through Jericho. Last time he's passing through. Here's what I'm trying to say. Zacchaeus was going to take advantage of the opportunity today, or he's going to miss out. He's going to miss out. Lord wasn't going to pass by anymore. Now, could he have run him down, chased him down another town? Yeah, I guess he could have. But the fact of the matter, this is where Zacchaeus lived. This was his home. The Lord was passing by. He had a desire in his heart. Hey, this was the day of opportunity. And I want to tell you, the only day you have to serve the Lord is today. Tomorrow's not come yet. It's not here, Brother Allen. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, today was the day to do it. You can't do next week today because you're not there. The past is already gone. You can't make up for it. All you can do right now is serve God, take advantage of the opportunities He brings your way today. It's all you've got. That's so, isn't it? Now, we can take care of the past if we've done wrong. We can ask forgiveness. I understand that. And we make some changes in the past. But really, your opportunity to serve God and to interact and obtain blessings from God is today. And when tomorrow rolls around and tomorrow becomes today, that day will be the day you can get from God. Now here's what you ought to say. What spiritual opportunities are available to me today? That's all you've got. And so here's what the Lord said. Today I must abide at your house. If Zacchaeus is going to receive from the Lord, it has to be today. Because the Lord's passing by. And verse number 6 says, and he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. Now you say, what's that? Here's the simple truth. Here's the simple truth to spiritual victory. Obey the Lord when He speaks to you. Just obey. That's not rocket science. That's not deep theological truth. Just simply, when God speaks to your heart, obey Him. If you want blessings. That's all Zacchaeus did. He said, come down out of the tree and do it hurriedly. And that's what he done. I mean, what more is there? We see there's three aspects of that obedience: with haste, no hesitation, come down, humility, with joy, willingly, we might say. You see, Zacchaeus is a beautiful picture for us of obstacles and opportunities. And anytime there's an opportunity, a true spiritual opportunity, there'll be obstacles. The effectual door at Ephesus. Was it at Ephesus where he said there's much adversaries? Was that the church at Ephesus? You know the passage I'm talking about. Paul said there's a great effectual door, but there's many adversaries. There's going to be opposition when opportunity comes around. And we learn that from this little passage of Scripture. And you have to get past it. You have to overcome it. And my, you could just keep pulling little truths out of there. We see another obstacle come up in verse number 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Anytime the Lord's truly working, religious folk are going to murmur and complain about it. They're going to murmur and complain about it. You can just count on that. If you get anything or go anywhere with God, somebody's going to have something to say about you. You know where I think old Zacchaeus and his job had developed a thick skin. He just really didn't care. I don't care. You want to complain? You want to gripe? You want to fuss at me? Get a number and get in line. I mean, that was a way of life for him. He was a publican, a chief publican. But we see that this experience with the Lord brought murmuring and complaining. But then I want you to see what else it did. It brought a changed nature in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, the half my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Hey, we're talking about a money man. That's what I call him. You ever seen that crowd? All he wants is another dollar. I mean, you could throw a quarter into hell and they'd jump in after it. That's all they're after. It's a dollar. Another dollar. Got more than they'll ever spend. Just want to make some more money. That's who Zacchaeus was. He's a money man. Here's what he said. I'm going to give half of it to the poor. You know what he's really saying? It's not that important. You know why the world's really important to a lot of God's people? He doesn't have y'all's heart. If that's where you're at. He doesn't have your heart. When you come to church, when you come to get out instead of coming to get in, he don't have your heart. He has Zacchaeus' heart. Here's what Zacchaeus said. Hey, that used to be important. It reminds me of Paul when he said, I count all things but dung. That's what it reminds me of. He said, oh, that used to be important. Not important to me no more. No, half of it. I'm going to give half of it away. Now, if anybody wants to come say I've taken from them falsely, I'll give them fourfold back. Can I tell you what that is? That's a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's a creature who the Lord has his heart. The Lord has his heart. Here's what we see. We see a man with a spiritual desire in his heart And he had to work at getting where he needed to be. But when he got there, God honored it and blessed him and saved him and said, salvation's come to this. Does it say household or house? Let me see if I can find it there. This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Man, that's worth half your money, isn't it? That's worth restoring fourfold. Can I tell you, Zacchaeus, God received his heart's desire because he was committed and he was determined and he had a goal to know the Lord and to be closer to him. And he would not stop till he got there. And that's what we need tonight. We need that in our life. But it starts with the work of God on your heart. It starts in your heart. It's not something the preacher talks you into. It's not something you talk yourself into. But it has to come from the heart. It comes from the inside out. And if what you do is not a heart thing, if it's not motivated from the heart, I guess is the right way to say it, I'm not sure it's worth a whole lot. I know we have to obey. I know sometimes we have to do when we don't feel like doing. But understand the way I'm using it. It needs to come from your heart tonight. I'd like to have a verse of song, Brother Allen. That's what God gave me tonight. Maybe there's somebody here, and you're trying to get where you think you need to be, and mass just seem like an obstacle, and you take one step forward and two back. Here's what I'm saying. Stay after it. Be determined. Stay with God. Position yourself for God to bless you if He chooses to. And I believe He'll choose to. I believe He'll choose to. Let's bow our heads. Just a verse. Maybe somebody needs to pray tonight. Maybe you come in burdened and troubled and bothered. You just need to pray. Maybe God spoke to you some way or another. Would you be obedient? Would you be obedient this evening to the Lord? Brother Allen, one verse if nobody comes.